Mother Daughter Disney Podcast. My name is Amanda. I'm here with my very lovely mother.
Hi, I'm Jeanette.
And today we are going to be talking about some underrated things to do in Animal Kingdom. I wanted to do this episode today because the day that this episode comes out in real time is April 22nd, which is Earth Day. Mm. And this is also the day that Animal Kingdom opened up on April 22nd, 1998. So I thought it'd be fun to do an Animal Kingdom related podcast today. And what better way than to talk about some of the fun things you can do in Animal Kingdom that maybe we don't always think about. So we kind of thought of these things through as not necessarily like the big rides or the big things that you have to do that a lot of people will definitely have on like their must-do list, but things that maybe if you're walking through Animal Kingdom, you may skip, you may pass, you may over, you know, not do to get the other things instead, and just other great things about Animal Kingdom that I think a lot of people don't always realize is there. So we ranked ours 1 to 5, but we're going to start with our number 5 first. So what is your number 5?
I don't know what it's called, the monkey house.
Okay.
I guess in Asia, when you're walking towards Everest.
Yes.
There's that temple that they have with all the ropes and the ladders and yes. The things. And every time we go by there, we stop.
Yes, no, for
sure. It's one of those places that you can just, they have some benches where you can sit and watch them for a while. And you can just stand there and watch them, take pictures, whatever. But that one's kind of underrated because it is so entertaining.
It is,
You can tell that they know they're being entertaining.
Yeah.
They are actually watching you while you're watching them.
Are they chimpanzees?
I think so.
I'm not exactly sure the exact breed that they are.
Yeah, but I think they're chimpanzees. And like I said, I don't know if it has a specific name. I tried to look it up to see if it had a specific name.
I don't think it does, yeah.
I could not find anything, but that one just always intrigues me.
No, I do love that as well, because it is one of those things where you would walk past and just not really think about, like, again, you're trying to get to Everest or trying to get to Colorado Rapids. But then these monkeys are just hanging out, they're swinging on the ropes, they're eating food, you know, and they are really fun to watch, and they're quite entertaining too when they interact with each other.
And I think we're entertaining them at the same time.
Yeah, I know, we're watching them in the human cage as much as they're watching them in the chimpanzee, I feel that same cage, but they're not really in a cage.
No, they're not, they're let's say they're fenced in.
Yeah.
They do have a big area to run around, jump, go through those temple kind of looking buildings that they have in there and stuff. So sometimes you can't find them, and sometimes they're just sitting right out there looking at you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I didn't put that one on my list, but that is one of my favorite things to kind of do. I feel like because I've talked about that a couple times about Animal Kingdom. So my number 5 is walking around the Oasis. So the Oasis is the front part of Animal Kingdom. So right when you walk in, you scan your ticket, that little area right there is the Oasis. And then you walk over that first bridge to where the Tree of Life is. But I wanted to call out to the Oasis because I think that area is super underrated, specifically for the reason that for the most part you walk in and then you're rushing to get to Pandora, rushing to get to the Kilimanjaro Safaris, you're rushing to get elsewhere. A lot of people don't always spend time in that area.
I agree.
And then at the end of the day too, it's like, well, now I'm tired. I want to get to the bus. I want to get to my car. I want to go home. So it's like you just kind of breeze through it all the way again as well. So Disney describes this area as explore the untamed beauty of the natural world. Stroll shady trails past gentle waterfalls, meandering streams, lush flora, and fascinating creatures. Keep your eyes open for the local residents of the Oasis, giant anteaters, babroosas, barking deer, wallabies, and spoonbills. And there are a few other little animals as well, like some other water animals that's in this area, as well as just other random animals.
Pretty waterfalls.
Yeah, sometimes we just randomly walk through and we just see random animals kind of just out and about in their little, habitats.
Even the ducks catch our attention.
I know, like the Florida animals as much as the actual Disney animals. But yeah, but I think this area is so great. It's so lovely to walk around. It's very shaded as well. Like it's all trees in that area, right? It's like so cool to just walk around and really feel like, you know, you're kind of in this area. All right, what is your number 4?
My number 4 is Pandora, the land of Pandora.
Like walking around Pandora?
Walking around Pandora, because to me, I've never really seen Avatar. I've never seen the movie. As we all know, I've decided that, you know, the ride is one of my favorites. I think that even day or night, because we stayed one time to see it at night, I think just walking around there and seeing what they did and how the sounds and the colors, everything, the waterfall, the sounds, the colors, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting. And for somebody who's never seen the movie, I still found it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was like one of the things that I think is underrated because, like you said, people are always running to get online for the Flight of Passage or run to their Navi River journey or go here or go there. I don't think a lot of people, they're maybe taking pictures because it's there, but I don't think a lot of people actually slow down enough to walk through just to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, like I said, we did stay in Animal Kingdom till nighttime just so I could see it at night.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I do have that on my list, but it's a little bit in a different spot. But my number 4, so this isn't necessarily underrated. I think a lot of people do love this show. However, I think a lot of Disney people love this show, and people who are just going maybe for their first time or like non-Disney people going would not necessarily go watch this. And that is the Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond, which is the Finding Nemo show in the theater that's kind of between Asia and Dinoland USA. So Disney describes this show as, based on Disney and Pixar's film Finding Nemo, this exciting stage show invites you to discover the familiar tale of Nemo and friends from a whole new point of view, as well as fan favorite songs such as In the Big Blue World and Go with the Flow. The adventure begins by catching up with a fish from Dr. P. Sherman's office and Finding Nemo, who made their way across the ocean to the Marine Life Institute. With live performers, animated backdrops, and a theater decked out with innovative lighting, sound, and special effects to create Nemo's undersea environment, this newly updated show takes you back to the extraordinary underwater world all over again. I think this is such a great show. It's done through puppets, so each character is played basically by a puppet for the most part, and I think the puppets all look so good. I think the songs are really fun. I would say it's definitely a kind of a kids show to a certain extent. It's like tells the story in a very basic, easy to understand way, so like kids will be entertained throughout it. And again, it feels like you're underwater, which is really cool and really fun. And again, I just think it's a really great show. I think it's really fun. You get out of the heat for a little bit because it's fully indoors, and it's not necessarily interactive, but again, it's very interactive, like with the audience, that, you know, like you kind of sing with a little bit with the audience. They have, you know, again, all these puppets, all these things that kind of fly over your head, like the stingrays and stuff. I just think it's a really fun show, and I think it's one that a lot of people would skip to do something else. Like, they would probably go over and do Festival of the Lion King before doing, you know, the Finding Nemo show, or they may go, you know, again, like do something else in the park, like parks, like one of their rides, or like doing something in Pandora, then come all the way here to, you know, this little spot between Dinoland USA and Asia, which is kind of like a very specific area that if you don't go over there, you would never see it, honestly. So I just kind of want to give a call out to the Finding Nemo show. All right, what is your number three?
Okay, my theme here is, obviously, when you get to see what I'm talking about, is that things that are were underrated that you pass by, like what we were saying, where you run to here or you run to there, and people are going here and going there, make this ride, make that ride, get our, you know, reservations, get, go here, go there. Gorilla Falls was my other underrated one that
Gorilla Falls
trip. I think that a lot of people don't do Gorilla Falls. I'm not a big gorilla person. Now, I'm not as well prepared as Amanda because I didn't read the descriptions that Disney puts out for these things.
No, that's okay.
But Gorilla Falls is like a relaxed trail where you do see gorillas, but you do see other things.
You do, yes.
It's not just gorillas. I'm not a big gorilla person, so even seeing the gorillas, we look at them for a minute and then I'm on my way because they don't do anything for me. But I think that most people, when it says Gorilla Falls, people just assume that it's just Gorilla Falls. And as we said at one of our podcasts recently, we did it and was so surprised how wonderful it was.
Yeah, for sure. You see a lot of other animals along the way. You see different monkeys and the okapi, and like there's another aviary there. And that's what it's called. Is it called an aviary?
Aviary.
Yeah, an aviary. Yeah. But I think the other thing too with Gorilla Falls, which is why I agree, I think it is underrated. The entrance to Gorilla Falls is in the exit of Kilimanjaro Safari. Mm-hmm. So I think when you were leaving Kilimanjaro Safari, even though they say it's like, check out the Gorilla Falls trek, you may just walk right past
That's what I mean. I think people are walking past it because they're saying, we don't want to do that.
Exactly. And then you wouldn't naturally re-walk past the entrance of Gorilla Falls trek because it's in the exit of a different ride.
Yes.
So you just don't go back to it. So I definitely agree.
Yeah. I thought that, like I said, it obviously made an impression on me because we've talked about it before. And then, you know, it was in one of my other top five things that, you know, we were talking about, that in the Maharaja trek. But I think, like I said, I think Gorilla Falls is underrated because people just don't stop.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're coming off the safari, you've been on the safari for a while also. Mm-hmm. People are in a hurry to go to the bathroom, get something to eat, do this, do that, take the kids someplace else. You know, we got reservations to go here, to go there. So I think that it gets overlooked.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. All right, my number three is very specific.
Okay.
It is eating at the Yak and Yeti local food cafes, but specifically when you get your food. So if you're facing the Yak and Yeti local food cafes, to the right and kind of behind it, there is the seating for it, essentially. So there's seating. It's all outdoors, but it's fully covered. But that seating is so lovely. It is so pretty back there. There's this huge stone structure, sort of, that's like a waterfall.
Waterfall.
But it's not really a waterfall. You don't really hear the water, but it has like this water feature essentially on it. All the chairs are different. All the tables look a little different. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost as if, you know, it's kind of this mismatch. You know, they were trying to just build this little cafe and they found all like this like furniture, antique furniture to kind of put in this back area. I just think that area is so cute and so cool to be in. When the few times we have eaten there are these big white cranes that kind of walk around too. These are Florida cranes, not Disney cranes. So I do want to point that out. But it is fun just to see the cranes as well when they walk around
They have to sit up on the fountain and drink.
They do. They drink. They kind of watch you eat. They're trying to see if they can steal some rice from you or something like that. So it's kind of fun.
It's a very entertaining place.
But the area too is also very quiet. Like it's not very loud back there. It tends to be quiet. A lot of people, even though it is a popular spot to get food, I find that a lot of people it's not like loud back there. I don't know how the sound works, but like it kind of contains the sound where even if it's fully packed, it's not loud either. It's still like fairly quiet. Yeah, it's definitely comfortable. It's also a good spot to sit as well if you have family who's going on the Collie River Rapids and you don't want to go on Collie River Rapids, so you can sit in the shade out of the sun. Again, great for people watching too, because where that area is kind of in the little crossroads of that area. Mm-hmm. So you see lots of people going to Collie River Rapids, walking to Expedition Everest. You can't really see the chimpanzees from this area. It's kind of blocked by some trees, so you can't sit and watch, unfortunately. But there is, again, a few little shops there, so you can watch people shopping. It is fun to see people come off Collie River Rapids wet. So wet. You know which families just went on and you know which families have not been going on. So I don't know. I just really like that overall area back there. So I kind of wanted to shout it out because I think it's kind of underrated and people don't always think about going there. I think, for instance, if people were going to go relax, they'd probably go to like the Nomad Lounge. Because
right, that side. They go across over to that side.
Yeah.
Right where the water is.
Yeah, this is a great little area to relax too, I think.
It is. And the food's good. If you get it right from there, from Yak and Yeti's quick service.
Yeah. All right, what is your number two?
My number two is Conservation Station.
Okay.
I think Conservation Station is underrated too because you have to get on a train and go over there.
Yeah, I'd agree. Mm-hmm.
I think that people, because they're in the park and they want to do everything and see everything and be everywhere that's in the park and all the rides are in the park, that they don't think twice, they don't think about getting on that train and taking it over to Conservation Station. Conservation Station, I'm sure Disney has a big long description of it, but is a science center. It's a science center. They take care of animals there. You learn a lot about the animals there. They have a petting zoo. They call it the Affection Station, where they have a petting zoo that you can go in. And I remember when you were little, how you used to love to go in there and do that. It shows you that them taking, you can stand behind the glass and watch them take care of animals. Sometimes when they're working on the animals, you can actually see them doing it. It just seemed to me that the train ride through the jungle over to there, I don't think people take enough time to go to that on a regular basis. So to me, as much as I love it, it's an underrated thing for other people, I think, if they're not really sure what it's actually going to entail.
No, I would definitely agree. And I agree that train ride over there, I think, is what makes it underrated in that sense, because I think that's like dedication. You know, you got it. You're dedicating yourself to wait for that train, get on the train, get over there, and then also have to like take the train back.
Yes.
So I feel like that
it takes
timing,
up a chunk of time.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a whole adventure on its own when you're doing that. So again, if you have reservations to make, if you have other things that you're trying to catch up with, you may skip that to try to save time. So you're not, you know, in your head maybe wasting time, but I don't really think it's a waste of time.
Right, because I think that all these little things like that, the Gorilla Falls, the Maharaj Trek, people don't expect how well thought out it is.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's also one of those things too. I feel like a lot of these things are on the list are things that you would do on your own time. So it's like you wouldn't make a reservation for this. You wouldn't make a reservation to go on the Gorilla Falls Trek or go to Conservation Station. It's a choice that you would have to make on your own. And I, because Disney is such a planned trip these days, that you do have to plan all your reservations. You have to plan.
Yes.
If you're doing Lightning Lane, you have to pick the times for your Lightning Lane. If you're doing Pay Per Attraction, you got to pick those times, because so much of it is planned. Sometimes you forget about the things that you can do in Disney that is fully unplanned, you know?
Right, which is underrated for people, especially who only go to Disney once in a while. We're lucky enough that we've been there so many times
and
that we go on a regular, at least now once a year, to go and do whatever. We can take the time to say, oh, well, today we're not going to do that. We're going to just go over and do this or do that or enjoy this or enjoy that. Some people don't have that luxury. And I think that chunk of time is worth it if you do it. But I think that people just don't want to take that chunk of time out of their day.
Yeah, or just don't have that time to take out if they're trying to get everything else done. All right, and my number two, this is where I had taking photos of Pandora. I specifically wrote it that way because the last time we were there, I had left my mom on a little stone bench by herself.
I was tired.
I said, I'm going to go take photos of Pandora because I needed more for the Instagram, if I'm being honest. And that is when I was walking around and I really noticed how they really brought the world of Pandora to life. And I was really paying attention to the intricacies of these different flora and fauna that that's basically made up, because Pandora is a fictional world, of course.
Right.
But that they recreated in the real world, so to speak.
That's what I found so interesting.
I also found too that the upkeep of the world is really well done. And I mean that in the sense that there's a lot of, you know, like, again, fake flora and fauna and stuff that's out there that's made up from Pandora, but nothing is dusty. Nothing, like the paint isn't chipping away. The paint isn't getting moldy or anything like that. And I think that really speaks to the upkeep of the parks in a general sense. I say this with love, but when I went to Disneyland Paris, the upkeep of those parks are not the same as Disney World. And again, say that with love, it's a lot of money and time to hire people to clean the parks, to repaint, to, you know, to do that maintenance. So I get it. That's not like a diss towards Disneyland Paris or anything. But I did notice there were lots of places where, you know, there were things that could have been a little bit cleaned up, or like paint was super chipping away, or things were getting a little rusty. You do not see that in Pandora at all. I think that speaks to that intention of detail too, since again, it is made up, which meaning there is a maintenance team who knows that land well to keep the paint upkept, to kind of dust off some of like the plastic things that are in there that's not real. I think that's really great to see. I can't even describe it, because there's this little section where it's kind of like a little fake little pond of water. It is a pond of water, but they have these fake creatures in the water, and I never noticed them a day in my life until I was going going over to take photos of like the floating mountains. Mm-hmm. And I looked down and there was just a giant bug, honestly, that was there. Okay. And it was not real, so I will say mm-hmm. that. But it was huge. It scared me because I wasn't expecting it to be there. And I realized they were all over this like little fake pond, and there was a plaque that like described what these were. I think they were supposed to shoot water at you, so that feature was not working because nothing happened. Even as close as I got and waved my hands around, nothing was happening. But again, this whole area was empty. Not a single person in this area, because there's no reason really to go up into that area unless you were like kind of taking photos or just walking around. Like, there's no food up there. There's not really that many benches up there even necessarily. It's just places to walk around. Imagine at night, it probably looks beautiful with all the
lit
lights
up.
Set.
I know.
Like, yeah, like the bioluminescent
lights. It is amazing lit up.
But yeah, I just think the whole land itself was intricately done and really well done. Mm-hmm. And I do think I have seen both of the movies for Avatar, and I did like both movies. I so wish that the second movie was out when they made this land, because I actually do prefer the second movie over the first movie. And that is because the underwater element of Pandora is amazing. Like, I love that in the second movie when you go underwater and see how beautiful this world is. And so in the first movie is really based on that foresty type of land, which is what Pandora and Animal Kingdom mm-hmm. is based on, to the more foresty type of area. But yeah, I just agree too that my mom was saying before, it's just such an amazing land. It's so intricate, so well done, and again, very well maintained mm-hmm. to again bring that illusion to life that you are on the planet of Pandora. So definitely make sure you appreciate when you walk around. So okay, what is your number one then?
Harambe Square.
Harambe Square, okay.
I like Harambe Square, whatever they call it, Harambe. I just think that hanging out in Harambe, which I know I've probably mentioned before in one of our podcasts, it's so immersive. When you're in Harambe, when you get down in there, it is all immersive in that you feel like you're actually there. The buildings, what's going on around you, how things are set up.
Yeah, it's like you feel like you're in an African
yes,
town.
Yes, you actually feel like you're in an African town. I think that the fact that there is shopping, there is entertainment, the entertainment that they come out, the local flavor for that entertainment is really authentic. I think the fact that there is, you know, a place to sit, place to eat, place to drink. The bar there is great to sit and just watch people go by. The bar there that they have, that's an outdoor bar. And just the fact that everything is just coming and going. I just think that sitting in that place puts me in a place that I will never go to visit myself, unfortunately. In my lifetime, I will not be seeing it in person. But to sit there and be completely immersed in something that actually feels like I'm there is like my favorite thing of doing that. I think is underrated. I think it's one of those places also. It's a walkthrough. People are walking through to see about going to the bathroom, to go maybe go into the shop, maybe grab some kind of food at the, they have a window there. Plus they have one of the big restaurants is there. But I think people are just walking through there to get where they have to go, not necessarily staying. If there's entertainment going on, people will stop and stand and watch the entertainment, but they don't pick to sit mm-hmm. there whether there's entertainment or not, I don't think, unless they're tired yeah. and they have to go use the ladies' room or the men's room or whatever. I like to go there just to sit, to watch the people go by and just to see the flavor of what's happening. So I think that's underrated.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree. I also think too, the detail in that area, mm-hmm. again, is something that can be very easily overlooked. Mm-hmm. I think that goes for all of the Disney parks, yes. obviously the detail, because the Imagineers really invest a lot of time yes. and energy into immersing the culture.
And
into
I think
the details.
They really invested in Harambe. I yeah. think it's really amazing.
And I would say the same thing too. Nothing's ever dusty. Again, like mm-hmm. Harambe Square is supposed to have that weathered down look, mm-hmm. but the irony of a weathered down look is that you have to maintain a weathered down
yes.
look. And I actually love that it's this strange juxtaposition
yes.
of like, mm-hmm. how do we make this look weathered and wear down, but also it still actually has to withstand the Florida hurricanes
right, the Florida people.
Yeah, the wear and tear of just like right. guests coming in every single day.
Withstand the tourists, yes.
So I do appreciate that a lot as well. So, all right, in my number one, it's funny because you did the Gorilla Falls Jungle Trek. I did the Maharaja Jungle Trek, which is another one that we also right. talk about. So I picked this one because kind of like the Gorilla Falls Jungle Trek that's in the exit of Kilimanjaro Safari, the Maharaja Jungle Trek is all the way in the back of Asia past the entrance to the Kali River Rapids mm-hmm. ride. So I remember when me and my mom were going to go do this the other day, we couldn't find it. We couldn't find the entrance. We're like, where is it? Like, I thought I knew where it was, and then it just like wasn't there. And mm-hmm. so it wasn't very obvious to get to. It is on the map, obviously, so we probably should have just pulled up the map, but we didn't.
Right.
So, but yes, and it was funny because by the time we found it, I was just like, wow, this really is tucked away in the back corner mm-hmm. of the Asia land, so to speak. But again, this is another area too where you kind of have to choose if you're going to walk through this jungle trek. Obviously, with the Gorilla Falls and the Maharaja trek, you can walk through as quickly or as slowly as you'd like.
Right.
There are benches along the way if you want to sit down, if you want to have a snack or do something. But again, the detail and like the way that they create the Maharaja Jungle Trek is as if you're walking through an ancient Asian land. Mm-hmm. It's like all these ancient ruins are all around
right.
and the animals are in their little habitats based on these ancient ruins. And I think that is so cool to walk around, to see all of the different, you know, Asian writing all over these ancient ruins. You see kind of the animal drawings mm-hmm. as well off like which animals you're going to get to next. So Disney kind of describes this area as cross towering footbridges, which you do. You like little footbridges, really cool. Roam around jungle bends, behold cascading waterfalls, and stand in the shadow of a palace frozen in time. Mm-hmm. Hop into a chirping aviary where over 50 species of birds soar free. In addition to the graceful Asian tigers, you may encounter gibbons, Eld's deer, black buck, the Komodo dragon, Malayan flying fox, water buffalo, over 50 species of birds. Legend has it that the Annadhapur Royal Forest was once the hunting ground of wealthy Maharajas. Today, it's a lush tropical paradise you can explore on a self-guided tour. Again, there's a whole story to this little trek. Yeah. Like, that is just amazing, you know? It's like that someone kind of got, I mean, like, how cool is that job? You know, that you just get to think and be like, let me create the backstory.
When we were there, it wasn't that crowded because, like I said, people don't, they just don't want to take time.
No, for sure. And again, it's like, again, or maybe you just don't have the time is the thing. So it's, again, you're trying to rush from reservation to reservation or trying to get things done or trying to make it before nap time or something. I think this would be a great area for nap time, you know, just grab
it was because there were places, all along there that had benches in very quiet, serene places that had beautiful landscapes to look at or to take in. And at the same time, be able to sit and relax and feel it.
For sure, And then you also get to see really fun animals. And
Well, I thought the birds were amazing too. The big birds the aviary, that were walking around and just right under your feet. And very nice.
That's why I also wanted to shout out this jungle trek as well. Again, like some people, obviously a lot of people do the jungle treks, but I think they also can be overlooked as well. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to shout them out too. But all right, that was both of our top five underrated things to do in Animal Kingdom to celebrate Earth Day. So happy Earth Day, everyone. Make sure you go plant a tree. I said planting a tree is just easy. I do not have a green thumb.
No, me
either. My friend Allegra, she can take clippings of a plant and then they just grow in her pot at home.
It's the way my father was.
Yeah, and I'm just amazed by it.
I know. He'd go take clippings from everybody and grow them and then put them in his yard and in his house. And well, there was green everywhere. Nope, did not inherit that.
She just sent me a photo the other day of being like, I was in Boston. And so in real time, it was a couple months ago. She took a clipping off a little plant there. And then she just sent me a photo today. It's been like 4 or 5 months. And the plant now has its first flower.
Oh,
but
wow.
The plant is like grown. It just has first flower because it's spring.
Good for her.
And I'm just like, damn, girl, that is amazing. It's like, I would not be able to do that. So proud of her. But yes, happy Earth Day, everyone. All right, let's transition to some Disney news for right now. So this is a pre-recorded episode. Honestly, most of our episodes are pre-recorded. But there was just a few little things in Disney news I thought it would be fun to talk about. So the first is that Disney has announced the next new cruise ship. It's going to be called the Disney Destiny. How exciting is that? Mm. What a cool name, the Disney Destiny. It is going to be heroes and villains themed.
I saw that.
What an interesting theme to do for a cruise ship, hero and villains. So they specifically called out The Lion King, Hercules, and 101 Dalmatians. So you'll see the heroes and the villains of all three of these. It's funny because sometimes I forget that Cruella is from 101 Dalmatians. I don't know why. Even though she's a beloved villain, and she truly is one of the most villainous villains, I think. Because some of the other villains, you can be like, oh, they were wronged. They, you know, they're just tallying back. But she just wants to, you know.
Just loves fur.
She just wants to turn puppies into coats.
Just loves her fur coats.
Yes, we just love capitalism. The true villain.
Well, I think it's amazing that they're going to do something with villains because they've been talking so many years of doing a villain park.
They have,
That a lot of people have said that if they did a villain thing, that they'd probably have a big draw. So hopefully it works for them.
No, for sure. So I'm really excited to see what this cruise ship is going to look like. So at the end of 2024, the Disney Treasure, which is actually going to be the next cruise ship to launch or to set sail, I suppose is the right term, is in 2024. And they said the Disney Destiny will be in 2025. I think after the Disney Destiny, I think those are the three that were supposed to go together. So it's the Wish, the Treasure, and the Destiny were like the next fleet that kind of the ships all went together. Although I'm not 100% sure because I'm not really sure. I'm not super familiar with the Disney Cruise Line and how the fleets work, so to speak. But I think these three ships, I say in quotes, are supposed to be like in the same fleet technically. So this will be one of the final ones. But again, I'm sure not the last Disney cruise ship. They're definitely going to be adding more. So, all right, up next, the Communicore Plaza in Epcot is finally going to be opening this summer. And the first show they're going to launch there is an Encanto sing-along show. So super exciting. That will be the final walls that's in Epcot to be taken down is around that Communicore Plaza. Disney's also announced too they'll be using that plaza for lots of other shows as well that will also go with the festival. So I'm excited to see what other shows they'll put there that will be kind of festival themed. But for the first one in the summer will be Encanto. So that'll be super exciting too. Can't wait to like scream, sing. We don't talk about Bruno with everyone else in the middle of Epcot. Right. The Lion King is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, the original movie. So Animal Kingdom is going to be having some special celebrations this summer to celebrate the 30th anniversary of The Lion King. They didn't necessarily announce what those celebrations are going to be yet, but they just said they're going to be doing stuff. It seems like the characters maybe will have special meet and greets and like more meet and greets or something because he showed some photos of like Timon and Pumbaa, but I guess we'll see. That'll be super exciting. And the last thing thing I want to shout out and that I'm very excited for is that Disney Springs is getting a drone show. How cool is that?
I know. Right after we're there, too, it's going to come
in. I know, right? But yeah. How cool. I have been saying this for, like, since we started this podcast, which I realized is only a year ago. Yeah. Saying this for the last year, that Disney World needs a drone show. When you go to the other international Disney parks, they all have these really cool, intricate drone shows, and we just don't have that in Disney World.
And they have the space over the lake.
That's what I'm saying. It makes sense they're doing it there. I think it's a really smart idea to do it in Disney Springs, where that's, you don't need a ticket to get to Disney Springs. Anyone can go to Disney Springs. It's bringing more people than's already going to Disney Springs. It's adding a new entertainment value to Disney Springs as well, since a lot of people see Disney Springs as food and shopping. And not necessarily entertainment. There is a lot of entertainment in Disney Springs, but I think food and shopping come first before entertainment.
Right.
So it's bringing a whole new entertainment level to Disney Springs. And again, they have the perfect amount of space there. Think too of the resorts that are in that area. They will be able to see this drone show in the sky from the resorts. That adds a whole new level of value to those resorts as well.
Especially Saratoga Springs, because that one seems to be the one that really goes to want. You can always find a room there because nobody really wants to stay there.
Exactly. So now if you have a room that can see that show, that's a huge push now to suddenly stay in those rooms.
That's a big place.
So I think this is such a smart idea that they're finally launching a drone show. I think it makes sense to do their first one in Disney Springs. I think that's fine. I do think eventually they should add a drone show to the parks as well. I'm not sure which park would make the most sense, if I'm being honest, because I know it has a lot to do with like airspace and, you know, certain safety precautions that you have to take. So like, I get it, you know, not everything's easy, but I think it's super exciting that they're finally doing a drone show, and I'm excited to see what this drone show is going to look like. I also want to say too, if you have never seen a drone show in person before, videos do not cut it. You really do need to see a drone show in person, because the experience is drastically different in person than it is watching it, you know, on your laptop or on your phone or something. Right. I've only ever really seen a drone show. Technically, I saw it twice, but I've only seen the Disneyland Paris drone show that they had. One of the coolest shows I've ever seen. And that was a basic drone show. Like, the drones were not doing anything too crazy in that drone show. And I was still so impressed by seeing that drone show.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's going to bring such value to Disney Springs. And like I said, Saratoga Springs is one of those beautiful resorts.
It's got
so much going for it. It's so quiet. I think people like to stay in the ones that are closer, where you can walk into parks and hop on the monorail and do this and do that. Where Saratoga Springs doesn't get the right amount of, like, gee, it's really nice. I've stayed there before. And I know they've upgraded it since I've been there. But I think people now will want to go stay, especially if they can go into Disney Springs. You can walk into Disney Springs from there. And now you can see the drone show, and there's more going to be more activity and stuff. So I think that's going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm super excited for that. Super excited to see what this show will look like. So I will have to watch the first show on YouTube, because by the time the show comes out, we won't be going for a couple more months.
No.
But just exciting for that. All right, and let's transition into our Disney birthdays. There are no Disney birthdays this week, surprisingly. The only one is Animal Kingdom on April 22nd, 1998. But happy birthday to Animal Kingdom. 26 years Animal Kingdom has been in operation. We also have a few personal birthdays. On April 25th, it is my cousin's daughter's birthday, Brianna. Brianna will be turning one. So happy birthday to Brianna on April 25th. On April 27th, it is my mom's cousin's birthday, Gay Marie. So happy birthday to Gay too as well. And on April 28th, it is my cousin's wife's birthday. Oh, I guess technically she's also my first cousin. I'm not sure. First cousin by marriage.
By marriage.
My cousin Christina. So happy birthday also to Christina
as well.
So lots of personal birthdays. We have lots of spring birthdays in our
family. Yeah, lots of spring birthdays. I know.
All right. And that can leave us to transition into our final segment of the podcast, our Disney memory. So do you have a Disney memory for today's podcast?
Well, probably my biggest Disney memory is Conservation Station, because when you were young, like I said, we did go to Conservation Station whenever we went to Animal Kingdom usually. And the first time we went there, you would not walk in because there's the wall with the pictures.
Yeah, there's this big mural on the wall when you first walk in of all these different animal faces. And I was really scared by it when I was a kid, because it's kind of creepy if you just look at it.
Yes, when you first look at it, it's very scary to walk up and see all these animals with their mouths open and this going on.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of artwork, but it is kind of scary for a child who's kind of scared of, you know, these scary animals. Like, you know, you don't know these
animals. Once you got used to it, it wasn't bad. Matter of fact, the picture on my desk that I have on my desk is the three of us, you, me, and Luke, standing in front of that wall.
Yeah, which, again, I still think it's funny that they're like, let's take a photo from this wall that our daughter is obviously scared
of. Well, at that point, you weren't scared anymore because you stood there, because otherwise we couldn't get any pictures in front of the... Yes, that was a little older. When you were younger, oh, God, we couldn't... Walking through the front door was like pulling your teeth, so...
I know. Well, you should have just covered my eyes or something.
I know.
Like,
well, we got smart after the first time. We said, okay, let's not let her look there. But
but
then you got used to it. It was like, once you realized what was behind that wall, it was worth it to walk past the wall.
Yeah. No, for sure. No, that's fair. But I do remember being scared of it as a child, actually. Uh-huh. I honestly only have negative feelings towards the wall now, because it's one of those things when you look back and it's like, I never liked that. So I feel like now as an adult, I probably still don't like it.
Still don't like the wall. Okay.
Even though I do recognize it is a piece of art, and that, you know, I, I do appreciate the art of it.
What is the eye of the beholder?
Like, one of the Disney memories I have is when I talked before about sitting at those tables behind the Yak and Yeti local foods cafe. Yeah. So I had gone back there first and I had my popcorn because the Yak and Yeti Foods local cafe unfortunately does not have vegetarian spring rolls or dumplings or anything. So they do have lo mein and some rice that you can get, but the items I wanted, which would have been a spring roll, they did not have, so I couldn't get a spring roll. So I just got popcorn, which is my favorite. So I went back there to find the seats first when my family was still online. And that is when I was sitting there and there was a couple, it's like they were at the table in front of me, sort of. They were eating their food and I was watching one of those white cranes try to eat their food the whole time. The crane was successful because the couple wasn't paying attention. I know I have a photo of the crane. I don't have a photo of the crane eating the food. It might be in the vlog, honestly. I might have said like that they were just eating like the food over there. So by the time the couple noticed, I remember he had to move his jacket because I think the crane was trying to step over the jacket to get to the food. But it was just so funny and so entertaining. And that's the memory, honestly, that made me think of that, to put that into my list today, was remembering watching that crane trying to eat that couple's food back there, sitting on that beautiful stone like water feature, which is so cool. But again, I sat back there for a while because sometimes the lines, you know, for food can take forever. So I sat back there for a while, and that was when I really appreciated that area for the first time since going there in a long time. I do remember that. I have a lot of memories like that, eating my popcorn in Animal Kingdom, waiting for everyone else to get food because I don't always eat the same food as my family. But also, I'm the only one that really is as dedicated to the popcorn game as them. So always trying to get my popcorn. But Ari, thank you so much for listening this week. Make sure you give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or leave a comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. On our social media, Spaceship Earth Design, our dedicated Instagram post to this episode, let us know in the comments, what is your underrated thing to do in Animal Kingdom? What did we not talk about today? There's lots of other stuff that we did not talk about that's definitely underrated. So I'd love to hear what your underrated things to do are. Maybe snacks that you like to eat or food that you like to eat. I thought about doing that, but I was just like, all right, let's just do things first, then maybe another day we'll do snacks and drinks. But we'd love to hear it. So definitely let us know on our Instagram post. And yeah, we will see you all.